Anyhow, let's bring in Paul Jones, our Raptors radio analyst.
Hopefully he's not upset about this.
590 The Fan. Paul, were you outraged by ESPN's rankings? And do you feel better now knowing that the three guys or three people, it doesn't have to be guys, three people or four people who had a coffee down in the Starbucks below ESPN and scribbled out their rankings, put the Raptors up higher? Are you a more whole human being now, I guess is what I'm asking you.
My late father's words continue to become more and more poignant, and he becomes smarter as I get older. And he would say, the wise man sees not the same tree as the fool.
Okay.
Like, really? Your rankings? Like, I don't know. I could be offending people, but I'm going to take the word of three guys that are 25 years old sitting in a room doing the power rankings that think the league started with LeBron James 15 years ago. Like, I mean, I got talking to somebody the other day in Orlando, and we got talking about something historical, and he said, well, I never saw Wilt. And I said, well, I'm old enough, I did see Wilt. I saw Wilt block Kareem's hook shot in about 1971. So, yeah, like, and I hate to be the old get off my lawn and like, but you're right, Jeff, Richard. Who freaking cares? As they said to Serge about a month ago, and I keep bringing this up. Well, Serge, you know, nobody's picking you. He goes, yeah, nobody picked us last year either. How did that work out?
Yeah.
And I agree. And like, it was funny because somebody went after me because I tweeted about a month ago, we were in Portland and the Raptors took apart Portland and Damian Lillard, you know, was held down. And I watched we were in the U.S. and I do my homework and I always watch the games and the reports and who played well and look at the box scores. And I remembered watching the 2 o'clock Sports Center, 11 o'clock Pacific. And I didn't see the Raptor highlights against Portland, thinking, okay, wait a minute. Maybe I was kind of working at my computer for the Dallas game and maybe I missed it. And the loop came on again and I watched the entire thing again and there were no Raptor highlights. And I just kind of said, I put it out on Twitter. Hey, is it me or did I miss, did ESPN not show Raptor highlights? And then I went, you know what? Who cares? And I wanted to hit the recall button on the tweet, but it was too late. But you're right. It speaks to like, you know what? Do your job, play the game. Toil in silence. Let your results speak for you. And that's what the Raptors are doing right now. Mm. Like nobody's. I can't believe guys in our business. Some of them actually picked a championship team to be like 9th or 10th in the East. I'm like that's either subjective dislike. Or you're having your analyst card taken away from you for that.
Yeah.
Like they may yet finish 9th. They may yet finish 9th, the Raptors. I don't think so. But this team healthy, there's not 9 teams better than them in the East. That's the way I look at it. Maybe I need to have my card taken from me, but I think I've seen a little bit of basketball and have an idea of what's going on.
Yeah, here is ESPN's power panel, by the way.
Yeah, some of these names I like.
Tim McMahon, Under Snellings, Royce Young, Bobby Marks, and Mark Spears. I'm a big Spears dude.
So. Yeah, Bobby Marks has been on the station before. I know Royce.
So those guys. But
McMahon's a good guy.
You know what? And I know them all.
I respect them all. It just proves that people I respect can be wrong. So there you go.
Exactly. Exactly. And I would say that I watch. Maybe I'm too close looking at the trees to step back and see the whole forest. But you know what? That tree does look a little bit bigger than the other ones from where I'm standing here, doesn't it?
You know what? You know
exactly.
What? Let me reverse this, Jonesy, and I'll get your opinion on this. And then hopefully this will be the last we covered this. But there is a...
You can blame me for that.
Yeah, there is, interestingly enough, and this is just my thought, and maybe because I, you know, sort of live on both sides of the board. But my thought is that there is a, interestingly enough, there's a benefit to not being in the news of the day every day on ESPN, where there's so much over coverage of the LeBrons and the Hardens and the Kawhi Leonards that if you're a player, you don't have, if you're Fred VanVleet or Serge Ibaka, you don't have to deal with like nonsense on a daily basis because the American sports network machine has to cover all this stuff. And in a way, you could sort of develop and figure out whatever your culture is. I'm not saying under the spotlight because they are the defending champions. But you know what I mean, Paul? One benefit is that, like, Kyle Lowry, Fred VanVleet, Pascal Siakam are not being asked every single day about the latest stupid LeBron James or Russell Westbrook controversy. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree, Richard. You just kind of, like, the people that know, really. And, you know, that panel is an esteemed panel. But I can tell you, they're probably not sitting and watching every Raptor game.
Exactly.
The same way if you put me on the panel, who's in front of Toronto right now? Like Toronto 7? Who are the six teams in front of them?
Right.
I don't know. Because I tell you, as much basketball as I watch, I'm not watching the Lakers every single night. I can't. Sometimes when they're playing, I'm on the radio. Yeah, I'm on TV.
And the point behind all this, too, and I do want to move on after something, but the point behind all it, too, is, you know, I don't care if the apostles, I don't care if all the saints are on the panel. It doesn't matter. You are the NBA champions. I mean, it doesn't matter. And this is what it's like. Enjoy the fact that you're NBA champions.
Absolutely, that, Jeff. Absolutely.
That big ring carries hell of a lot more weight figuratively and tangible terms as well than a freaking power pole.
But fan is short for fanatic. You know that. It's hard for we're all in agreement here.
All right, let's move right, on. Go ahead.
I'll ask the basketball question. All right, so Jonesy, you Nick Nurse on this show last week said,
"I love it when Deitch takes charge."
Yeah, there you go. He said this. He said this before, but he said he had a very, very sort of interesting multi-paragraph answer on why the second game of the Magic series last year in the playoffs was what Nick had said is the best performance he had ever seen up to that point, certainly defensively. And when he saw that, he thought to himself, "If we play at this level, we actually may be able to do something special." I know you've heard this before. In thinking about sort of Nick Nurse's thoughts there and looking at the first half of yesterday's game, Paul, that has to be, I feel like, parallels, right? To me, they were as good. I'm almost as good as you can be yesterday in that first half.
They were, and I'll say this, they got some help. Like, Utah just missed some shots. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, it in the NBA, it's okay, here's what we're going to give up. And if they beat us with that, shake their hands and say, okay, this is what we want you to beat us with, and you did it. We're gonna double. We're going to help out and recover. We're going to get to shooters. But this guy, LeBron or Kawhi or Lillard or Embiid, you're not beating us. You know what? James Ennis III, you're going to beat us. Joe Ingles, you're going to beat us. And we're not going to let you beat us. We're going to work hard on you. But if you beat us, you beat us. And I think the Raptors, they've been executing schemes outstandingly, including the part that where you say, you know, Joel Embiid, you're not going to beat us. Ben Simmons, you are. But when Ben Simmons gets the ball, they play him like, well, we don't want you to beat us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if that makes sense to you, right? And yesterday they did that with Utah, and some of those guys missed shots. Like they were contested. They made them work for them. But when they got open ones, they were squeezing the ball a little. They were rushing it, and maybe that's a factor of, a consequence of the fact that the team wasn't playing well, and those guys that were supposed to beat them were feeling pressure. So, to your point, though, Richard, to your question, yeah, that was pretty impressive. And I knew that in the second half that something was like there was no way that Utah was going to come out and score another 37 points in the half. Now, I didn't know they were going to score 49 in the third quarter. but at the same time, that was, that was another workmanlike win for Toronto. It really was.
So with Kyle coming back eventually, how do you see the trickle-down effect working here?
Everybody goes back to their spots, Jeff. The same way last night or yesterday, Serge Ibaka came back and Chris Boucher, he went back to his spot. Like that that kid in the band that's just waiting to clang his cymbals when he gets the sign. Like now, no, not now. You know, now, no, not now. Boucher, 7 games ago, got the now. And now it's like you go back and hold your cymbals and wait for your turn to clang them again, because we don't need that right now. Stay ready, but it's going to be the same. When Kyle comes back, he and Fred are probably going to start. Norm Powell's going to go back to the bench. Terrence Davis will have a few minutes reduced. But the good thing is they're all ready to go, and you're not going to have to readjust to Kyle. I mean, let's face it. Last year when Kawhi was out of the lineup, this team had, when Kawhi was in the lineup, they had two styles. Mm-hmm. One with Kawhi getting the ball and making decisions, and another one when he sat on the bench, when he was off the floor, where the ball moved, players moved, and they used the Nick Nurse, you know, drive it, kick it, swing it, you know, and when you get the ball, shoot it, drive it, pass it, don't hold it. They had that package.
Right.
And this year, they're using that package constantly. There's no, we're going to give it to one guy and let him do it. They don't do much of that all the time. Like, Pascal does it at times. Kyle will do it at times. Fred will do it at times. But it's more of a team-oriented kind of offense. And when Kyle comes back, they'll go back to that, because he's a guy that plays that way. Move it. Get your teammates involved. He loves to get his big guys involved. And then don't forget, you've got a guy like Marc Gasol that – I almost fell off my chair yesterday when he got off the ground and dunked the ball.
Yes.
Our engineer, Vic, I said, the next time we do the game on the fan, I said, Vic, you're going to count how many times Marc Gasol leaves the floor with 2 feet. And I'm telling you, the over-under is 9.5, man.
Well, but, you know, that is part of his game that people have wanted to see come, and I think it will come when everybody's healthy.
The Memphis Marc Gasol. We love seeing it. Paul, real quick on my part, Miami comes into town. I think they're better than a lot of conventional basketball experts would have predicted.
Where are they in the power rank?
I don't know. I don't know if they were ahead of them. Big shout out, by the way, Kendrick Nunn, because we're talking about Terrence Davis.
There you go.
Kendrick Nunn, an undrafted guy. And Jonesy, I know you're a Connie Hawkins guy. Connie Hawkins set the record for most points in his first 18 NBA games by an undrafted player. This guy's third. Now, of course, Connie Hawkins did play in the ABA before he came here. Okay. This guy played in the G League, but just because we're all about Terrence Davis here, and with good reason. But Kendrick Nunn's having a real good start to his
Miami's
career, too.
They're better than people think, or whatever the conventional wisdom was, I guess.
Exactly. I don't know where they are in the power rankings, but they're a damn good team, too, Deitch. And Kendrick Nunn, hey, they got some other young guys on that team playing well, like Mitchell Robinson's playing well. Tyler Hero.
Mm-hmm.
I asked Nick Nurse at practice today, do you have an appreciation, from where you sit, looking what Eric Spoelstra has done with incorporating those three young guys and the improvement of Bam Adebayo and taking Jimmy Butler and putting him into the lineup? And Nick was all praise for Spo, and rightfully so. And Miami's they're a team that everybody thought they'd be better. And they might be fighting for one of those spots around 6, 7, and 8. Well, again, we're only approaching the quarter pole, but this team is right there. And I'm looking at the top 4 or 5 teams in the East. And again, we're only at the quarter pole, but I'm saying, okay, don't finish 4th or 5th, because that 4-5 matchup, and let's not sleep on Indiana,
mm-hmm.
that 4-5 matchup is going to be tough. And then you get to look up at 1, 2, 3. And look, Miami's a good team. They're right in the mix. And, we've talked about this idea of culture. And I think Nick asked it today. Was asked about it today. I couldn't really hear it. But to me, it's a way of doing things with expectations attached. And, Pat Riley, Eric Spoelstra, like, they have that culture in Miami, and they're getting results because of it.
Jonesy, we're going to let you run. Appreciate it as always, man. You're number one. You're number one in my power list. At least till I need Grange,
Wallace.
And then Grange is number one, and then
Rasheed Wallace. Just cut the check, baby. I really don't care.
Paul Jones one.
See you, Jonesy.
Mark Jones two. Thanks, Paul.
Take care.